So the idea was to have 15 people, which is no problem. We can have a conversation cafe anyway, so we don't need to divide in groups. We can do it together. The question was, Auroville is really working towards a holistic food system. We are working towards that. We know what it means to reflect of how we perceive food. It's good that Anand is here because she is running what we call one of the collective consumer cooperative. It's not really a cooperative, but it's a distribution center. So I think it's great that she's coming. He is working at the pizzeria, so he works with food every day. So that is really good that he's here. You can briefly explain why you came to our, I mean, briefly, in the sense, in the context of the conversation, but why you decided one day to make pizzas? Why you decided to make
Making pizza is my malediction since I'm arriving in Auroville. Last time I were here in August 2006, I tried to make pizza in visitor center, also if they don't have a properly oven, and we had a normal result, not so exceptional. And Daniel, the now is the boss of the new Patient Corner, catch me the day after I arrived in Auroville with the idea to make a new pizzeria in the new Patient Corner, and the malediction is still going on. But I'm involved in food since I was two, because my family had restaurants since I was two. And my grandma in Sicily had a big garden where she was having every kind of vegetable, so also oil, wine, different kind of vegetables. So most of the things that I'm putting in Auroville came from a tradition, because since I was 15 I'm making pizza, and truly I have to say that I learned more in the last 6 months here. Because there is another approach. In Italy especially, that pizza is a bigger tradition. We are losing the tradition for the modernity of making ingredients. I don't know.
The ingredients you need,
also the,
you lost the contact?
Yeah, you lost everything, because I don't know, here we prepare all the kind of vegetable, we prepare the tomato sauce, dough. In Italy there are a lot of companies that prepare these pre-prepared tomato sauce, or also the dough is prepared, and they are made in an industrial way. That that means that it's made in with something that is not natural, not natural way. So also me, I have to restart to my background, because everything changes here. And also my point of view about how to make pizza is changing. Here there is such a big diversity about eaters, because vegan, vegetarian, people that don't want wheat, or people that eat everything. There's a big mix, and it's not like Europe. There is more, I don't know, if it's easy to find some vegetarian people, but it's the most of the people eat everything. And, that makes, also the timing is different. Here you can be more relaxed to prepare things, and also people enjoy different kind of things. In Europe, I think the thing, the problem of food is becoming very oriented, very fast.
I think we have also to reflect on what is the specificity of Auroville, no?
And in a place where we are aiming at having a society without exchange of money. The food is one of these elements that moves a lot of money, and basic, and which has to be seen in a different context than in Auroville, because the food then becomes a service to the person, something that is a need that is being covered by the society without the exchange, you know? And I think that's a very, very innovative and brings a very different consciousness to that food, because you don't buy it, you don't work to get that food. The idea is that you are being offered whatever is the best, whatever you need, and you don't need to exchange it always or to give a value always. No, I think that's a very beautiful experiment to be working on. And the second is also that the theme of the consciousness, you know, because we are here to grow in consciousness. And imagine when you are doing something which is so material, putting so much energy on it. We have all experimented that the same food prepared by one person or another, it feels so different, you know. So I think that's also another point which should be very important to know about, you know, and to explore more. No?
Yeah, taking from that perspective, I think it helps, because what makes Aroville a lot of different from other cities is that we said it is a city with a soul. We always said that, you know? A city with a soul. That is also a city with a soul, and it's a city with a society. And I think sometimes, we can discuss it in the soul, we have a tendency to forget about that, and we always look at the soul aspect. I think the soil and the society aspects are also very important in Aroville. I think it's important to integrate that. So how we are going to do it, and how the connections are between soil and society integrated, is something that I would like to invite you to discuss with me today. What is the first thought, or the first thing comes to your mind when you think about food and soil?
For many years we've been working on growing soil.
Yeah.
We start with the premise of, which is the basis of Masanobu Fukuoka's insight into farming, into reality, into humanity, into life in general. And his premise is that nature is perfect. Nature made Amazon, nature made the forests in the world. Nature did everything. It wasn't brought into a lab and dissected into. So you can't actually, like, if you go and sit with the banyan tree in the Matrimandi and you say, what is that tree? You can't know that tree. You can't break it down and put it in a lab and then say, I know this tree. Thought cannot know nature. Thought cannot know soil also. Soil, if you like, is a living organism. There are millions of microorganisms in the soil. There are earthworms, insects, molds, bacteria. There's such an intrinsic life. I always give the analogy of like a 3D matrix of a web. So it's like, if you start plowing the land, you're gonna disturb something. You're gonna juice with the heat and the sun, some of the microorganisms, some of the bacteria which feed on the other ones, which nourish the other parts of the food cycles, the food webs. So the whole idea of Fukuoka's relationship with the soil is a minimum intervention. You shouldn't intervene, because nature knows how to be well. Nature knows how to be healthy. But man, in his Descartesian paradigm of like, I know, therefore I am, you know, that's like, it's brought in a confusion. It's brought in this dominance over nature. But actually, if we can start from, and that's what I've been trying to do now for, I could say, quite seriously for the last 7 years, that's to nurture the soil and not to disturb the soil. Now, there are many consequences of that. For a start, you get plants which are very healthy. And the health of the plant means that you don't have things like pests so much. Sure, you have something, but it's more like a natural balance. As soon as you have a soil where you've like broken it down and said, this is phosphorus content, this is the nitrogen potassium content, this is that, you've lost the concept. Like if you look at all the elements needed for your diet, and we broke them down and focused on certain elements of them, you will not be healthy. You know, there's so many factors, so many parameters involved in health, and it's the same for soil.
Can you give an example, if I can interrupt? Like when we eat peanuts, for instance, no? What is the relationship? Peanuts are good for us in our diet, if you are not allergic to it, because it has a lot of protein and acids, and fatty acids. It's very good for health. growing peanuts is also good for the soil. Why? So you see, this is a very simple example of how we can, if we know our soil and what needs the soil and what we need, we actually can design a diet that can actually be in total synergy what we put in the soil.
But I think this question, frankly, is already too far away from us, because everyone has lost their relation with nature.
Yeah.
Not to be negative, and it's not a criticism, but look at the percentage of people who want to be involved with working the land.
This is what we discussed about the society.
Okay, but
we're talking about the soil.
The same factor, to know the soil, to know, to have a, you have to be with that every day. If you want to be doing art, you have to be with it. If you want to know how to do accounts well, you have to be with it. If it's it's something you have to really
live
with it, you know. And like, I have students who come and we do a lot of mulching. So they do this simple thing of putting some leaves around the plants, and then they see, oh, leaves, and then straw, and then more, and then sticks, and then they've done it. It's not a big deal. But then it's like they see what it is to return organic matter to nurture the soil. It's a simple action that bridges the gap. And that has to be integrated into our thing.
So when you do yourself, you absorb that thought that you assume that it was. And you leave it at the moment, and then you understand.
Yeah, and then the value of that soil, when you grow something, the value of that thing is not just the value of that thing, it's the value of your soil, it's the value of your whole lifestyle, of your community, of the interrelation with people. It's a whole, you know, and there is a beauty in seeing a plant so healthy. It's a really magnificent thing. And then seeing how things can rotate, how crops rotate, and how the soil can maintain that, and what, you know, where it becomes too much of an intervention, etc., etc. I can go on about soil for a while.
I'm sure you can. You would like to add something else? Any other thoughts? What about you and soil? You never seen the same thing. Same?
I don't know. The only idea of soil I had was the sample that my grandfather always said me, that soil is the vehicle to have a good result, fruit or vegetable. If you keep it like a engine, okay? That if you treat it in a good way, the results will be good. But their discussion was, you have to think that they grow with a simple learning about farming. It was not big consciousness also about soil. They know that they have to change the position of some plants for some mysterious way, but they didn't read book about it. They were old farmers.
It's a natural knowledge. Yeah.
But they probably didn't use chemicals either. They didn't believe in that, because why would you buy why would you spend money on a chemical when you can do something else? You can bury the coffee grinds or something.
He died in 1990, and he never changed his idea. And the other farmers, someone was changing the idea and tried to convince them that something chemical can be easier, no? To produce. You can improve the number of vegetables you can produce. Their mentality was quite strict in that field. They were not they don't know about books or something similar, but there was their soul that helped to grow soil. If they look one round, they know if the soil was good or not. They know it. That makes the difference. It comes from inside, not from, there is something, the chemical concentration is this, that. No.
So that's an economic approach.
Yeah.
So the other one is a sense of love for this earth, you know, and this earth is a richness, and it's of your deep well-being for you, for us, for everything, to return organic matter to it, to nourish it, to practice techniques that aren't gonna degrade the soil. I think soil, soul, is similar.
Can I have you a question, quick question?
Yes.
Do you think arrogance, us, the soil, needed to supply our diet?
Definitely. You look at Deepika and Bernard. They have started from pebbles. They have pebbles in Oro Vrindavan. In 5 years, they have, without a doubt, the most beautiful vegetable garden, albeit it's very small, in Pebble Garden in Oro Vrindavan. It's 200 square meters, you know, it's not, it doesn't compare to running a 6-acre farm or then to Annapurna, 134-acre farm. However, they prove that if you want to do, and people don't have to do 200 meters, they could do 5 square meters. You can make soil here, you know, we have so much biomass. The biomass they had, they didn't bring anything from outside. One time, I think they traded some wood for one bundy of compost. Otherwise, they just cut work tree. They had this silver work and lots of stuff, and they just cut it and pile it on the bed. They kept nourishing the soil, building it up like that. And they have, without a doubt, the most beautiful vegetable garden in the world from nothing.
How many years? 5 years.
I have no doubts about this. The only doubts I have is about whether people really understand that that has to integrate in some way on a weekly or daily level. In some way, you know, some people are massage therapists, of course. Some people are artists. Some people are doctors. Not everyone is going to do it, but in some way, we have to find our point, you know.
It has to be a big population dedicated to that. Always in the plan of Auroville, the whole Green Belt was farms to grow food for Auroville.
Forest, a lot of forest.
Forest, but the idea, the first idea,
forest,
when you hear what the mother said, she doesn't say forest, she says farms to grow the food for Aurovillians.
But
said
I tell you what's a big error, and I hope we're not going too off your subject, a big error is like the way we've talked about soil now is something very intimate, something very alive, something very very intangible in a scientific way. But the way we operate as people in this society is completely the opposite. It's very it's very much like this plus this plus this, and we get this and we'll get that, and then we can do that, and we get this funding and we do this project and then we arrive at our goal. But the thing is not like that, especially
what you said,
farming.
Is the economic perspective of life and of food.
It doesn't apply to the farming. What it has to apply to the farming, we won't succeed in Oroville with big farms producing a lot of food for a population not working on the farm. It won't
integrate.
It's not possible. And we have in Oroville, you know, whether people agree or not, there are so many gardeners and ammas and other people unskilled who are here, you know. And there's so many lawns and hibiscus plants and God knows what. In the season, if everyone in Oroville, around their hibiscus...
It is society. You can, this is very good because that it's perfect what you're saying, but that is... The
next subject.
I need to, it's 15 minutes to the soil, so we talk about the soil. Yeah. Each one of us bringing the different... aspects of it.
Can I ask a question about soil?
Yes.
I'm wondering about the integration with the young people that are growing up here.
Yes.
And what their experience, if they're getting experience actually on the farm, because the number one thing is to have people living here that don't see soil as just dirt, but that it's a living thing, you know, and that it actually can be a place where you can place your creativity, where you can place your service. And so what I'm wondering are the schools integrating anything having to do with gardening, or are the young people here, I mean, of course, this is rejuvenated farming, but I mean, you know, people are coming from outside the Living Roots and they're having mind-blowing changes, but are the students here actually at age 12, 13, 14, are they learning how to farm? Are they knowing how? Because that's when it has to happen.
Well, I'm a father and I can tell you my experience.
Yes.
In the schools at the kindergarten level, in one of the kindergartens, they do farm exercise. They do plant and grow vegetables with the children and the teachers. They do that. In transition, also Steph did a vegetable garden.
Yeah.
But it's something that is not carrying on along the way. It's something like you do it in the when you are children and a little bit, but then you are 12 or 13, where you are actually starting to
than the computers.
You know, smell the flavor of what you're going to become.
Like you do with your kids, you know, in the home also, no?
But what we do is that we have our own veg garden, first of all. Yeah. And then we go and visit these guys with the children, and, you know, they really interact, they really... For them, it's part of the learning experience.
It's dangerous to make the separation, what's happening in Oregon. It's the same, we're one humanity. What's happening to kids here is happening outside. Yeah. Maybe a little bit less intense on some levels, others maybe more intense, but it's the same, you know. In general, there is not this feeling that, you know, to be related with nature on a daily level as part of an integration of our life is not seen as a valuable thing. So until that's seen, until something changes with that, you know, why
that's part of the
impose that in a school, you know?
That will be part of the integral learning.
Definitely.
That a part of the integral learning will be not only your relationship with nature, inclusive in that is your relationship with food, and therefore everyone should have some knowledge of how things are going.
Maybe,
some people will find that to be their problem.
Well, maybe this is segueing into the next thing, because there are places in the world where that actually is a priority in school systems, is that they have gardens in schools and they're teaching that as part of the integral, even public schools, even in the U.S. and stuff. So why couldn't it be?
Yeah,
but it's like, I mean, I'm from J. Krishnamurti School in England. We had a 1 acre vegetable garden. We got most of our stuff from there. How many kids at the end kept going on with garden? There's like
you.
There's like a handful. There are a few, but it's very small. It's because in general, it's still more important to be an engineer or a doctor.
Society.
Yeah, but they are. That's the problem. They're all.
No. That's why. That then we do the integration.
Yeah. Sure.
I love this tension, actually. I love it.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt. I was wondering if I can also
join.
Share. Yes.
Please join. Join the group.
Okay, thank you.
Spontaneous. No?
That's more our bill.
That's part
of it. There's no tension.
But I love it. What you're showing is how soil and society are connected. It's impossible to really separate them.
Yeah.
But for the
field, I need to do it.
Because I want
you to focus on soul now.
Exactly.
Because
you
are really going, we're doing well.
I thought we were moving on.
Soul.
I have one, yeah.
you got the soul?
Of course. Oh, soil, huh? Okay.
We're talking about food and soil.
Sure, I saw your thing on.
Great, so soul. What is the soul of the food? Food has a soul? Where is the soul of the food? What it represents the soul in the food? What is the relationship between our soul and the soul of the food? I see this is a question I ask myself 1,000 times. Every time I get new answers. A couple of days back saying, the sun came. The sun is the soul, you know. Without the sun, there is no food, you know. There is no photosynthesis, there is no, you know, exchange. Okay, that could be one. I also thought about the seed, to have a symbolic, you said, to have a symbol of the food. They can see as the seed is a symbol of the food, so. And how important it is to preserve the seed bank, the genetic bank of the planet Earth. But there is much more than that. In India, we see the soul of the food in the pujas, offering the food to the world, to the gods. You see the Zen Buddhists before cooking, the Tenzo, the man who cooks the food in the monasteries, the one who was cooking the food for the Buddha, who always giving a little piece of food to offer as a gesture of service, you know, that's my offering to you, you know, it's a little thing. It's that attitude towards. But there is much more than that. What are your insights? What do you think about, what is the soul of the food, what it represents? When you go out to supermarket and you buy a product, that product has a soul? It's a bit weird.
I can share with you my experience. Most of the time I'm preparing pizza, it looks like mad, I don't know, because I dance, I put my own music. And most of the time, the results is very good. Especially when we have a vegetable coming from him, and there is a special energy. I think there is one of the problems of the society and is also including the soul, is the relationship between the person, the person and the food. So I saw a lot of people that after looking me preparing pizza, and also if I completely sweat or I'm going very fast, but I'm singing, you know, I'm very happy. They are happy to eat my pizza. It's my only experience, but I have a lot of friends that are cooker, and they also put, I don't know, reggae music or rock music, and they look crazy when they prepare it, but it's in their nature, no? They put their own happiness in that food. I don't think there is one negative power in the one kind of bottle of beans that you buy in the supermarket. But if I feel that that kind of ingredient, now that I'm preparing food in this way, I can feel if something is bad, is wrong.
You have another perception.
For example, I don't put meat on the on pizza, but I'm starting to feel that there is something wrong in putting meat on the pizza. I make some search and I discover that the combination between yeast, cheese and meat is a cholesterol bomb for you, for your body. But since the beginning, I don't want to put meat on the pizza. It was strange. I feel that something was wrong. And there is such power that you give to food and it comes from inside. Another problem that society has with food is timing of food. The timing of having a snack or lunch or dinner is becoming very short, because we want it shorter in Europe. That makes every kind of food very difficult to digest. You have to think that your brain need 10 minutes, that your stomach need 10 minutes to give the signal of being full to your
brain.
To your brain. I made one experiment. I tried to eat pasta very, very fast. I ate 1 kg of pasta in 9 minutes.
9 minutes?
Yeah. And I need five hours to digest it. Maybe more. But if you eat slowly, I ate 2 kg of pasta.
And it took 9 minutes, is quite a lot, right?
I ate 2 kg of pasta and I digested it in 2 hours. Like normal dish.
More pasta.
Yeah, because it's the easier thing to prepare. But there was the boss of the restaurant who was very angry with me. I consumed 2 kg of pasta.
In Auroville we are trying to do, because that's actually the focus of the question, is in Auroville we are really working towards that. So we all know that Auroville is aiming or striving for a new society. So how that relates to the food? How that relates to our daily diets? And what is the connection with the food and that? And I see that, as Krishna said, as the town planning is concerned, how we are going to integrate that food element into our city. Are you going to just push it away? Farmers are farmers, and they only produce the food for us, which we are not farmers, and they produce and we buy. Or is going to be different? It's going to be that actually we are going to integrate food growing, food processing, food distribution, restaurants as part of an intrinsic part of this creating a new society. So how you perceive that? What are the relationships? We all know that we enter in the consumer-based society, which is based on consume and buy things. So how this is affecting and what we can do to change that.
On one level, the gap is not so big. That's because of the context of Auroville. However, I would say that on a larger level, agriculture, as you pointed out, is culture. It's the foundation of our society. Without agriculture, you don't have society. In the West, we have no agriculture as a part of our integrated society, and you get all the problems that arise because of that. Because there are no agriculture brings people together for harvests, for sharing seeds, for, I don't know, all the different reasons. There's a lot of religious festivals integrated with agriculture. It's the cohesion, it's the cohesive, you know, that brings people together. It's a very fundamental thing. And we've lost that, actually. Although her side of point of view is a little optimistic, I think, but it's true at the same time. What we need and what I'm interested in, and possibly people like Stefan also, is something very practical. You know, it needs some practical thing. You know, anyone who wants to start something, we can help you start it. You know, we can, this is how you do it. You need one circle of 2 meters with one sprinkler, you plug it in, you add mulch. This is, you don't need to invent the wheel, you know. This is the system that works. Stefan has been working on it for years, me also, and Bernard Deepika and different people. Just do this, do that, here are the seeds, plant them, grow it, start developing a relationship. Then it's like this morphogenic resonance thing, no, where you build up a critical mass of people who are involved, and it picks up. People will start doing it automatically because it's like a, it's like in the consciousness of people, but it's very important for some practical thing to get people going.
How many kitchen gardens do you think there are in Oroville? Do you think there are many?
Yeah, but there's no
survey. Is there a way to,
would be interesting
to encourage more and more?
See, this is the
community garden. For example, everybody can grow a
small thing. This is the start. Someone like you asked that question.
Yeah.
Then someone goes out and finds out what they're doing, what they grow, and give them other ideas. See if other people would like, they'd like to make a meeting, bring other people who would like to start that.
Actually, when I see many times when housing projects are born, I never saw, in their process of designing
the garden,
they never said, okay, this area is great for pineapples. Let's grow all our pineapples. The Nech plant, it's a beautiful, gorgeous plant.
Yeah.
It has mulu, it can protect, and it gives you, and it needs nitrogen, we can provide us some nitrogen.
And you integrate one drip line in the project.
Exactly.
But it's
so in the when we do our balconies, let's design a proper little structures where you can actually grow your tomatoes, well drained, the water is there.
There is
no thinking. They said house is to live.
Yeah.
And then there's no connection whatsoever.
But there's designs out there, but
there
whether
are.
They get approved or
there
not,
are, there's
different.
A lot of
but the thing it doesn't come
but the architects don't come up with that. Nobody will be against it, but it doesn't come for.
It doesn't come, and maybe the architect doesn't think, but the people who are involved in the project, or the project holder, has that consciousness. Let's apply permaculture concepts. Let's apply, you know, and then I tell you, we all know what we do, a little farming. How much food, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You can produce in such a small amount.
It's
incredible.
If everyone has a hibiscus plant here, for example, like in the Adi Masam, Adi is the Tamil month in July where the rain will come. 16th of Adi is sure rain will be there. If everyone put one or two pumpkin seeds at the base of a hibiscus tree, which is got basically good soil, guarantee they'll have 4, 5, 6 pumpkins. Now if everyone in Oroville did that, just imagine, you know, and it's not like something which is like nuclear physics. It's very easy.
People don't know. We need to come
with creative solutions to communicate
people
that to our
this is what's interesting.
Yeah.
People don't want.
That's what
you
will come
I think they don't know, really.
People there, a lot of people are lazy.
And I think now, if I see, we achieved something. We have a farm group, 14 farms, 13 farms. I tell you my personal experience with working with groups. I work at the Board of Commerce, I work with the business people, I work in other sectors. I had quite experience. I saw that in the farm group still, there is a sense of unity, you know? Completely different than when the commercial units, it's all about, I know that and I don't want to share with you. And I think what farming also brings is that sense of service, sense of community building, of taking care of each other. In the other sectors, I don't see, they are very selfish, egocentric. It's something that we actually proves that when you connect to nature, actually you are working on yourself as well. You are working into being more gentle, you're going to be more simple, you're getting more humble. You know that you need the others as well as you. And so I think it's a move that it also can change their relationship with us and the community. If everybody gets a bit more involved in that, what do you think?
The last farm meeting I was at was, I haven't been in the group for like 6 years now because I chose to stand out of the group. But I went to the last one and I had the insight from Thomas that one person doesn't get the thing what we're talking about. They're not on the same wavelength. One person is a bit fishy, another person this. But we have to bring everyone together. Auroville is like Buddha when he said, I won't take Nirvana until the last person's there. It's not about an individual success here. We have to move together. Until the last person is there with us, we haven't achieved anything, you know? So it's like, Mark's right, there is a sweetness in the group. There is a sense of affection. I think maybe it's because the returns from farming are so minimal.
Aromir always look at the tangibles. We have the FMC, they're looking at balance sheets and profit and loss accounts. And it's so obsolete, you know. They do not take into account how much is the value of that soil, how much is the value of that person growing to take care of that piece of land. They don't see the carbon offsetting that we do with planting so many trees. They only see that, okay, you are in minus, man, you are in trouble, it's very serious, you need to ask for more loans, you need to pay more interest, and they don't see that we are actually working to connect, to build up something bigger than that.
It's an old mind.
And we are carrying that.
Yeah, but it's very present here. We have imported all the old habits
definitely.
Of humanity.
I have a small point on awareness that from the outside, this whole farm issue, I don't think it's so obvious to people who come in either new or people who come in as guests. For me, it was quite a surprise to know that Auroville only made 10% or less of its food in the community. Because for me, an eco community implied that somehow the food was met by the... But it was new. And then when I see a lot of guests and volunteers that come in for short or long term, I know that a lot of them, if they were aware, that they all go to sadhana for this. And there are 300 of them there sometimes. But you know, there was a more structure to the way you invite people in to help in. Then, for example, awareness of the issue like you're talking about, I'm sure that you'll get people...
But again, those people have to be, it has to be with some sort of joy. I've written an article about this in the news like about 5-6 years ago. We have a resource in goodwill, which is, you know, it's almost unlimited, you know, it's so much. So many people are happy to come in, but what do? 60 rupees a day, 250 rupees guest house, this, that, this, you know. People are forced into tourist paradigm, you know, don't have... You know, unless they come to Solitude or they go to Sadhana Forest and maybe one or two other places, you know, they're forced into that because we don't value people's like goodwill to help make this place happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think this thing of Aurovillian, fine, is a reality about being an Aurovillian, but can be much more flexible. It can be like someone who comes with goodwill and does something, you feel him like a brother, you feel him like a sister, you know. They don't have to be an Aurovillian to be make this place happen.
Yeah.
You know, the villagers, they're very much, without them this place isn't happened.
Mm.
Orville would not have happened. They need to be acknowledged, you know, much more. Maybe not necessarily, you know, going into a financial thing, but in giving space, giving, I don't know, there needs to be like a human thing which is much more valued.
So after this conversation, do you think we're able, all of us, each of us, to, although we are already doing, that we could say we could do a bit more to make that thing happen?
Could you a bit more
about yeah, and you can give an example. I mean, for instance, myself, after this conversation, I would say that I will be very interested to, maybe with an Andy or someone else, to start collecting this data. How many vegetables garden are already in our group? Have a kind of a survey, like from Maduka. What they do grow in Maduka? They do grow something, yes.
And how much land is there available in relation
and to that? That's right, what we do, the food mapping of Auroville, but not much in the farm level because we already have a lot of data.
Yeah, yeah.
But explore more
in the gardens,
in the cities. because that we're in a crucial moment where we need to grow and we need to build up the city. And if we bring that consciousness to the architects, to the possible, the future citizens and inhabitants, to integrate that food production into the designing of the layout of the apartments,
yeah,
houses.
And to possibly see if there's ways to present it in a very feasible ways where Orovillians are able to go to farms and help once a week, or like I have some
part
plots
of the community building.
I have some plots. I could give this field to someone if they are ready to do seriously. You know, I could
bring Orovillians
to
the earth. You know, get
yeah.
there and
yeah.
feel
yeah.
that it has a.
But
value.
It needs like it's like anything like selling a CD or selling a group. You know, it needs a real clear concept of how to communicate. Communication is everything. You know.
And another thing should be also communicated to the schools more, I think.
Yeah. Different schools. I think it's a question of making it like a regular thing. Like in our Krishnamurti school, it was there, but it was still the academics were more important. If it was like, no, this, at least two times a week, at least for 2 hours, 2 hours, we do that because we see that as important as going to do the sports,
exactly.
You know?
Same thing.
It's given its place, you know, that's what's, and then give it a year or two, it will integrate into community. It will, I'm convinced about that the thing will happen automatically if it's
yeah.
done at the right levels.
I think what we, at this level we were trying to do this year, is, since we are sharing that, one of the things we thought what we should do to create that culture. In the schools we felt in transition, for instance, they have their own system, but everything is very structured. And you study a subject from a book in a classroom. So you get the theory, and then somehow you don't have the chance to apply that theory into reality. So it becomes like one more file.
Yeah.
So what we decided with some parents as an experimental thing is to create a school called the Learning Community. And we approached the school board, said we don't want to be away from you, we want to be part of why I'm going to learn farming from a book if I have Krishna who has been farming on this on the land for the past 12 years. Of course the book will be great because the book always gives you new insights and its lecture and its literature and its knowledge and all that. But provided that is applied with
it's
someone,
support material
with some human,
yeah.
with some experience on the land. And then learning mathematics through farming, learning geometry through building capsules, through building dams, through building tomato structures, you know? A new approach of learning through nature, through people, through experience. And if we can succeed, I think that would be an option for other parents.
The only way you can do that is do it inside the thing. You
so
can't
on the
isolate.
Spot, we
you,
cannot bring
you,
the farm to the school.
No, but
we need to go to the
yeah,
farm.
Yeah, you can't separate yourself from school because it has to be like a disease. You got to contaminate the whole thing, you know? You have to, like, that's the way it can change, you know? But what you're talking about is, like, super inspiration. That's, like, I've read a few people who have worked in that way, a few very rare Krishnamurti characters, some Montessori characters, and that's really interesting. The
well, in Auroville we had at the beginning equals one. It was one of the really attempt to do free representation.
Yeah.
And it failed.
Because
Auroville had not enough resources at the time
okay.
to host that experiment.
So now
there were
we
very few
more,
people.
Now we have more resources.
Imagine how many resources we have now. Mm. Not only resources, experience, 40 years.
You
we need to integrate.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
otherwise,
yeah.
our kids, they go out to Europe, and they say, it's great, Europe, and they come back with that mindset, and they want to live the same life in Europe, here, and
yeah.
they either do one and the other. They cannot live the life in Europe because you're in India. Neither you can live Auroville full-fledged because you already have that assumption. You need to have that, you need to have that, you need to have that.
I also just want to add, there's a lot out there, so please, like, I know Orovillians, they like, we like to say, you know, this is, but there's a lot also, like, not needing to recreate the wheel. There's a lot of